All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is August the 29th, 2022. Monday. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you're at. Just had a great weekend. Really had a great last week. I thought was really great. Not a lot of drama. Just kind of chill and working and, starting to pick up my work game a little bit. Not that it's been slow, but summer's weird. It's iffy. A lot of people doing stuff. A lot of people scheduling appointments, not realizing they will be doing stuff. So sort of being tested in some other different ways that unfortunately I'm not used to, but it is reality. And that is, having people cancel and move appointments and for me, I still have that fear of economic insecurity where, if one person cancels, I think, oh shit, the gig is up. Everybody's canceling. I have no job, right? I go pretty extreme and it's not really fair to me, but it is what I do. Even though I know better and even though I know what to do when this type of situation does arrive, which would be about praying, and just turning it over. And, whether I'm not, first of all, I wouldn't be asking God, right, or good for more clients. But what I ask for is just to be able to remember the last 12 years that I've owned this salon and how around this time of the year, this is sort of the thing that happens. And about this time of the year, I have these same sort of feelings and fear and insecurities and worry that I don't even know what I'm worried about. I guess that I won't have a job, but I could always find a different job, right? I could always do something, right? But it's a bunch of bullshit is what it is. But understanding that I can pray about it. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear Lord, help me remind myself that this happens every year. Whatever it is, I know how to take a high road, find a road of humility. I can't become a victim of the seasonal situation. And that happens a lot as well, or has happened in the past a lot as well, is that, I start to become a victim and mope around and get frowny and it's not what I can do, it's what I can't do. And it's just start living in this negative space. Old behavior. And even though I definitely know better, and even though 99% of the time I don't do it, there is a 1% chance where I may dip the toe into the victim pool. And, sometimes I just like getting in the victim pool. I don't know why. I like to wallow around in it. But I just don't say it out loud. I just don't share. Because as soon as I start saying it out loud, I can hear my own voice and what I'm saying. I'm like, you need to stop. You are not a victim here. This is just typical seasonal sort of shit. And I can tell you that in probably 2 weeks, I'm going to be so freaking busy that I am going to want to quit anyway. I mean, and that right on schedule, that happens too. I remember last year at this time, well, not exactly at this time, but right around this time, the beginning of really the busy season. And just being really pissed off and annoyed, one, that I was so busy, two, that I wasn't managing it very well. I've shared before, I'm a people pleaser, right? I will say yes to just about anything. And the problem with people like me is that we have resentments over it, and it's not really fair. And I think over time I've learned to be honest and say, listen, I just can't take this on right now, or I just can't do it. I'd like to squeeze your appointment in where there no appointment exists, but I'm not going to do it this time because I know that come December the 24th, right, the day before Christmas is usually kind of when, everything seems to be kind of, everybody wants their hair done seems to be for Christmas and Thanksgiving, but December 24th, I'm going to be fried. And I remember last year kind of going through the same thing. And I remember I think we're going to Connecticut this year. We tried to go like the week before Thanksgiving. And I just remember coming back from Connecticut and like took 6 hours. And, you know, the season was starting and the traffic was out of its mind. And about from that point on until, you know, Christmas, and really up into that point too, because, you know, it really gets busy pretty much in the next week. Even though I'm actually busy, I don't have any openings. I'm booked. What happens is that people want to try to come in, and so you just try to squeeze people in. And so if you have a pretty full schedule and then you want to add 20 people to the week, it's tight and it gets stressful. And, you know, one of the, you know, there was a time when I worked in a salon, a couple of great salons. Bad Hair Day was down in Rehoboth, Bling out here in Lewis. You know, I worked, great hair salons, great owners doing great stuff. But it was a, you know, there was assistants and there was, you know, front desk staff and there was people that cleaned and there was just this whole thing. And that was great. But the other part that wasn't as great is that you would have a client come in, you would apply color, and then pretty much just kind of let them go with an assistant where they would sit and the assistant would watch the time. And when the time was ready, you know, wash them, apply toners or whatever it is that you need to do after the color is washed out. And then basically they come back to you, you know, half hour later, and which is great. It allows you to do more work, but there also isn't a lot of the interaction between me and my client because they spend a lot of time with an assistant. And so when I opened this salon, I was like, you know, I want to try to be more hands-on so I don't have assistants at this salon. And we don't have a front desk staff. We don't have a cleaning staff. It's just us, me and the two other operators that work at the salon. And, you know, we're asked, it's funny, you know, I've been reading a lot about this quiet quitting. I don't know if you've heard about this, but people are quiet quitting. And what this means is that they're only doing the job that they were hired to do. And which is funny because, God, as a person like that is from the 80s and, you know, Gen Z, is that what I am? A Gen Zer? You know, like when my first job, I was hired to do cash register. That's my job, cash register. I worked at Arby's and I was hired to do the cash register. But then I also have to go clean the parking lot and clean the bathrooms and clean the front lobby and take out the trash and do all this other shit, mop. And well, now apparently like the people are like, listen, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that part. I'm only going to do the part I was hired to do, which was as a cash register. So, and what they're saying is that if I'm going to do this extra work, you're going to pay me for it. And I'm like, that's some shit right there, right? But that's, you know, if you're really up until this point in our lives, we've been doing all this extra shit, which I think I've always thought was great. But I'm a people pleaser, right? I don't have a lot of confidence. I'm insecure about my role in a business, or, you know, used to be. So I would do it, you know, go sweep the parking lot. Yes. What does that take? What do I need? The broom and that fucking dustpan, and just go sweep the whole parking lot. And you're like, oh, all right. And then you're out there sweeping the parking lot, or you're taking out big bales of trash, or, which is, like I said, I thought was fine, but now the gig is up. And, you know, one thing about the salon where what I have is I have a couple of people that work there, but we all fold towels, right? We all do laundry. We all clean. I mean, I'm the guy that really takes all the trash out and stuff, but, you know, we all have tasks that we have to do that we are not getting paid for. Hopefully the girls aren't listening, but, you know, it's fine. If that was the way it was going to end up, then, you know, we could have a conversation about it. I suppose I would understand, but I think the good thing is that all the people that I work with we're all around that age. You know, we remember what it's like. No young millennials or anything like that. No offense, but it is weird. It's a weird kind of thing. And, you know, I'm glad that I went through it, I suppose. I'm definitely not glad that I am 21 at this time in our lives, right?
said, baby, things change. I said, but I feel the same. She said, well, let me explain, baby, how things can change. I said, but that doesn't show how love that could grow would become so strange. She said, well, baby, things change. She said, na, 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 baby, don't try to figure this out or ask questions about why. Forever's a promise, no love can survive.
Things do change, and you know, whatever. But it's kind of what's going on around here lately. And you know, sometimes I will go back and listen to the podcast that I put out. I don't know if that's weird. It's a great reminder. Sometimes I'll sit down in front of this microphone and just kind of, it's like popping open a can of soda, right? And just whatever comes out, comes out. And don't always remember what I talk about, right? It's just sort of this blur. And I've shared before that whatever I talk about, whatever podcast I put out, in my mind, it's probably shit. And I will take that position and, you know, I'll erase a podcast in a heartbeat. You know, I'll be like, this isn't going well, forget it, and just erase it and start over. And so, you know, sometimes I'll do a podcast and I feel like, oh my God, this was just a nonsense. And then I'll go back and listen. I'm like, okay, it actually flowed. It was decent, smooth, whatever. And but one of the things that I noticed is that, you know, I feel like I talk about a little bit about God a lot. And, you know, it's a tough topic because it will turn people off, right? You know, I'm still fascinated by the fact that, including myself, you know, when it comes to God, I pick and choose what parts I'm going to take, right? It's such this weird test in our life, this ongoing test that, you know, there's a guy or whatever it is, God, right? We've read about it. We can hear about it. Can't see it. Can't absolutely prove it. Pretty close, right? We think we're pretty close to proving that there's a God. I mean, if you ask somebody, they would tell you for sure. But there's still this little leap, or big, or huge leap of faith. And it's such a bizarre, like if I was going to create like a world and people and society, civilization, whatever, you know, of course you'd want this all-encompassing idea of a God that protects us or doesn't, right? And it's like the perfect, that's why sometimes I feel like this whole thing is man-made, right? It's all one big sim. You know, let's put people on, we'll give an environment, we'll give them weather, you know, they got to eat, you got to take care of yourselves, but at the very top of it, you have to have some sort of faith. And, but doesn't mean like some sort of half faith. You either have to be all in or not, right? Where I personally think you can be sort of in. I've always felt that way. Like I'm sort of in. So that's like, I'm sort of going to get on the boat, right? I'm sort of going to get to heaven, right? It's so funny that we're taught that, you know, you do well and one day you go to this place. And if you don't do well, you end up at this place. And it's a trip. The whole thing is a freaking trip. And, but it is sort of what it is, right? And this fact is this leap of faith. And if you can't take it, you lose. Maybe, right? Because we can't even confirm that. You know, we can't confirm that when you finally pass on to the next thing, you know, that it's not just the end, right? It may be just, you know, a good sleep. I was watching something last night and they said part of this, part of our issues in society today is that we're all, you know, afraid to die. And I was like, are we? Am I afraid to die? I was thinking, am I afraid to die? I'm not afraid to die, but I am afraid of getting old, right? I am afraid of being, you know, this bad version of myself as an old person, I guess. I do feel like a lot of people are really driven for health and taking care of themselves and looking better. But I don't know if that's about being afraid of dying more than it is of being afraid of being, like, out of shape in a very selfish kind of society, right? And so I don't know if that's all true, but, you know, I know that for me at least, it's this relationship with that leap of faith. And it's very, very tough because if I guess part of me feels like if I take the leap of faith, then I can't have any more fun, right? I can't be whatever slight sinner, whatever it is that I am, you know, I have to give all that up. Like I've said before, do I have to carry around a Bible? Do I have to, you know, do I have to be able to repeat verses and, you know, get up and preach if I had to? I don't, you know, I don't have any interest in doing that. And, but is that what they want me to do? Or is that what God would want me to do? Right. I feel like if that's what I have to do, I don't want to do it. Right. The message I always get is you either have to be all in or not in at all. And that's, I guess, you know, for a self-centered guy, I'd rather not be in at all. Right. So it's tough to have a relationship with God and all this because, you know, it's just not a lot of fun, I suppose. So I struggle with it. I listen to my podcast about when I talk about God, and I just wanted to share that, you know, I'm not a God person, really. I don't really believe in God. If that sounds weird. I don't believe really in any of it, but I do believe that there's a spiritual thing that goes on in our life, and I do believe that left to my own devices, I am going to behave more like a devil kind of person. And when I say the devil, and I've shared this before, it's just talking about the negative self side of me. You know, even when I say devil, it makes me uncomfortable. The devil, ooh, right? God, ooh. But it's just kind of how it is, and it helps me to look at it in a little bit of a more different light, because if I don't basically point it out in that way, I'll kind of sugarcoat it, right? And I don't want to do that either. You know, when I'm behaving one way that's serving self, I believe I'm serving the devil. It's a more of a devil's, an evil devil, self-centered kind of lifestyle. When I am doing things for people, doing it rightly, finding humility, I feel like that's in a lifestyle of good or God. You know, that's that, you know, I don't know how God was. I don't know how Jesus was, but I'm imagining that when he was doing stuff, it was with a positive spirit, right? I don't see, you know, Jesus, you know, bad-mouthing people. I don't see, Jesus would be the guy that would bring up your trash cans, right? It's a great example. I mean, would that, if you were neighbors with Jesus and you left your trash cans out, do you think Jesus would come over and take them up? Probably, right? Because that's a life of good. I know that one of the cool things about getting sober for me was just being able to do cool shit, right? Like, what are you doing? I'm bringing up your trash cans. Oh, okay. Like, I had never done that before. But is that something that Jesus would do? Would Jesus mow your grass for free, right? If you're living next door to Jesus, you're like, what's that sound? You look at, oh, Jesus is mowing the grass. Is this the lifestyle that I have to live? Do I have to do everything? Or can I still have a little toe in the pool of self? I don't know. What I do think is important is that the willingness, right? The willingness, that white flag. You know, I lived a life of not willing, right? But I didn't know. I did not know. I'm always surprised when, you know, I'll hear, you know, people that I went to the meeting on Friday and there was a couple newcomers and one guy had, you know, was sharing that, you know, he went to a rehab and he'd been there for a month and he'd come out. This guy must be in his late 50s, early 60s. And I'm like, how? Like, I went from eighth grade basically to rehab. I mean, I didn't do, from about eighth grade on, I was either drinking, smoking, chasing women. I was living a life of self. I had that selfish coat on. And I didn't acquire anything. I didn't get an education. I didn't really have any great jobs. I didn't have anything invested. I had nothing. So when I finally got sober, it was like all up, right? And, you know, I see people that come in and they have this long life of, you know, being married with kids that are in college. And now they're starting to address this thing, right? And it's usually something happened. I've said it before, something happened. You know, you don't go a whole life like that and just decide, you know, it's time. And honestly, that I hope that's what happened, and I know that's what it took for me, right? I'd love to sit up and share at the meeting that I just had enough, but nope, I don't. And I put it out there. I'm here because one, I'm terrible at drinking and drugging. I always get caught, and two, I got the shit kicked out of me. I got the devil kicked right out of me. The devil was laying next to me, and it's so funny. I forget the name of the movie, Denzel Washington movie, and he is a cop, and this guy has been possessed by the spirit, and I have to look it up. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have even brought it up, but it's a great movie. But if you touch the person, the spirit can transfer over, and it is so good. It's almost like freaking, to me, it's almost like being an alcoholic. Like the spirit, the evil spirit can come and go, right? Can come and go. And Detective Hobbs, I think is his name in the movie. And, you know, this spirit can jump that quickly in and out, you know, and that happens a lot. You know, I can be overrun by an evil, the self-centered spirit. And be grumpy, and I can walk into a meeting, and that self-centered spirit. The fact that, you know, one of the cool things about church and meetings and, you know, the steps and sponsorship and all this stuff is that it's an inconvenience. You know, there are so many things that I would rather do. You know, if you go back however many years, thousands of years, hundreds of years, 20 years, whatever, you know, at some point there's a reason why church is on Sunday. Right? There's a reason why we get down on our knees. There's a reason why we, you know, take communion and it's just this nasty, dried out wafer. You know, it's not delicious. You know, there's things that are in place because it's an inconvenience. You know, church for me, you go, and I do not go to church, right? I don't go. But it's on Sunday. It used to be early, right? You used to have to dress up, right? Nobody liked going. I mean, yeah, evening or morning, Pastor, morning, you know, morning, Betaloo. You know, we went, but nobody loved it, right? Because it's an inconvenience. You know, if our life is all convenience, doing everything we want to do, it creates a sickness. And that's why church is at in the mornings, you dress up, another inconvenience. It's probably a series of about eight inconveniences before you set your ass down in the pew. Right? Because once you go through it and you sit through the hour and you grind through and it's all said and done, and man, but there's a peace that comes over us. I think that's with everything, you know, whether it's working, you know, spirituality, you know, hunting, food, you know, if there's not a little bit of work involved, it can become a situation where we might actually start complaining about it, right? You know, that's the nice thing about working. We all hate work, right? Most people would put 100% effort into avoiding working. But I don't think people realize the magic that comes from a good day's worth of work, right? And that's sort of how it was when I was young, is that, you know, we went to work and God knew, or who knew what they were going to throw at us that day, right? Who knew what was going to be next? We didn't get to pick and choose. But I tell you what, you finish that hard day's worth of work, you make some money, and you're like sort of in a humble place. If you spend your whole day avoiding working and not working, you are serving self, and so you will start to find yourself with a lot of problems on your plate, a lot of worries and concerns, resentments, expectation, failed expectations, whatever it is. But when all we do is focus on ourselves and everything in our little circle, we get very weird. And so that's why I think for, you know, all these things, when someone says, hey, you know, turn our will over to the care of God as we understood him, you say, all right, I'll try. I'll try that. I don't know what that's going to mean, but I'm going to try. I shared before, it's always, for me, it's always been about the attempt, not the outcome. You know, my parents used to say, just try it. If you don't like it, put it on the plate. Just push through that self-centered little fucking mud puddle that you're about to walk over. Just push through, try it. If you don't like it, put it back on the plate. But all I ask is that you try. You're like, okay, and you put it in your mouth. Bleh, 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 bleh. I tried. Yes, you did. That's all I cared about. It's sort of the same way about trying to find sobriety, right? You know, what is it that I want? Don't know. Don't know what I want. I want it to stop getting caught. What is it that I want today? I want to be able to, you know, with any situation, understand what's going on. Do I have a role in this? Do I need to clean something up? How does it feel in my heart? You know, there's a great sort of thing that happens after you sort of get sober, or at least when I got sober, is that I started to have these kind of like these warning, you know, when you're in school and all of a sudden, meh, 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 warning, fire alarm, or, you know, whatever it is, these things start happening in my body. You know, you do something, you have a conversation with somebody. You know, one of my challenges as a guy that works in a hair salon is that, you know, I get this God complex, right? Because people want an appointment with me. I'm special. Oh, right. You know, I get this sort of complex about it. And, you know, I can't do that. You know, I have to find humility and gratitude. But, you know, it's just being willing to take a look and try. And it's amazing. So what do I want? The ability to try to do that, to clean that shit up if I make mistakes, and I still do make mistakes, you know. But those alarms start going off, and I'm like, what is this feeling? Why do I feel like this? It's God, right? Maybe it's God or good. Maybe these are all good feelings, you know. But, you know, like I said before, how can we live a little bit more good? Maybe it doesn't have to be God. I don't know. Let me see if I can do a little reading, and then get out of here. The hard part about all of this is that, you know, I see people, you know, what did I have to lose to get sober, or at least be sober for today? You know, I lost my wife. I lost my child. I lost my job. I lost all my friends. I was about to lose my family. And then I was about to lose everything else, really lose it. You know, like my wife had walked out trying to figure out her situation. You know, I didn't have a job because of my situation. You know, but if I hadn't like addressed something or really thought about it, I could have lost them all permanently. And, you know, but I remember I was at the bottom and smoked that cigarette. And I said, I need help. I'm at a bottom, right? I'm at the bottom, at least for now. And made that phone call. And so when I talk to people who really still have it, like, oh, my so-and-so is struggling, or my so-and-so is struggling here or there, and what can you do, or what can we do to help them? And the answers aren't really great, you know, because they haven't, unfortunately, gone down far enough, right? One of the cool things about AA, I remember reading, it says, you know, our hopefully we don't have to, our bottom half doesn't have to be as low as it used to be, right? A lot of people used to end up in insane asylums and hospitals and in the ground. And hopefully with the, you know, creating of the program and stuff, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go that far. But unfortunately, you do have to go down sort of far. And but when these people come in their 60s and 70s and they're at that threshold of being too far, I'm like, God, what sort of nightmare have you put your fucking family through up to this point? Ay, ay, ay. Let's see. Daily reflections. I choose anonymity. August 29th. We are sure that humility expressed by anonymity is the greatest safeguard that Alcoholics Anonymous can ever have. 12 steps and 12 traditions. Since there are no rules in AA, I place myself where I want to be, and so I choose anonymity. I want God to use me humbly as one of his tools in the program, sacrifice as the art of giving of myself freely, allowing humility to replace my ego, my sobriety. I suppress that urge to cry out to the world, I am a member of AA, and I experience inner joy and peace. Let people see the changes in me and hope they will ask what happened to me. I place the principles of spirituality ahead of judging, fault-finding, criticism. I want love, caring in my group so I can grow. Yeah, I agree. It's one of the weird things about doing this podcast, you know. It's, you know, ego's involved, I'm sure. All that, the devil's behind this podcast, I'm sure, somehow. You know, I try to keep it sort of anonymous. You know, I will say my name, but not really. My name is Tom. But I do, you know, I struggle a little bit because I'm not a professional recovery person. I don't have an education in it. All I have an education is just hard knock life, right? And so if I can just share some of the things that go on in my life today as a person that's recovered, right, that should have his shit all together and still struggles because we're just humans. And, you know, if I could just help shine a little light, that's all I want to do. But you do see this. I shared this before. There's a person that identifies himself with their first and last name, and they shouldn't. They should not do that. It should be just their first name. Because even if nobody else in the room cares, it says just your first name. Principles over personalities. The principles are keep it anonymous for hundreds of reasons. But personality eventually starts, hey, and I remember the answer. Well, if they wanted to look me up in the phone book, they wouldn't be able to find me. And I was like, okay. But anyway, listen. Thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you, I don't know, maybe Friday? I'm trying to get a couple of these a week, but we'll see. Hopefully Friday. Later. Slow, but I ain't